אנחנו קוראים בתלמוד.
We are reading from the study of the Ten Sefirot, volume 2, part 6, page 452, the Ten Sefirot of Olam HaNikudim, cause and effect. You can download, you can send us your questions to kav.tv. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. Yeah, cause and consequence, item 3. Now we shall explain the connections of cause and consequence among them. First, the place where the tzimtzum, restriction, is made is caused by the histalkut or Ein Sof, the departure of the light of Ein Sof from there. Thus, the first thing to know is that there is no absence in the spiritual. Hence, any slight change in the spiritual does not mean that the first surah, the first form, is absent from its place as incorporeality. Rather, it means that the first surah, the first form, remains in its place unchanged in any way. And the change in the tzura form refers to an addition to the previous tzura. Thus, now there are two forms instead of one. We must also remember that the law of separation, the spiritual, is nothing more than disparity of form. As the act separates in the corporeal, so disparity of form separates in the spiritual. Thus, if the spiritual acquires some change within, it divides and becomes two. The distance between them is as the measure of the difference of form between them. If it is a slight difference, they are still considered close. But if the disparity is great, they are considered far from one another.
Questions? Yes.
He writes here that tzimtzum, restriction, is after the light departed, which is the consequence of the departure of the light.
Right.
So what does it mean?
The decision about the departure of the light is not yet the restriction, the tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means that after the light departed, I hold on to it forever, that the light will never enter the will to receive in order to receive. The light existed in the will to receive. I suddenly felt that I'm opposite to the light that fills me. That oppositeness begins to work in me. I can't stand that disparity. I expel the light. And after I expel the light, I decide that it will never enter. As long as the light is in me, it's not restriction. When I expel it, it's also not restriction. Restriction means that from now on, I'm closing the door. Next. Yes.
If he says that disparity of form in the spiritual is like an axe, so how come there is a slight or great change?
He says
if there's a slight change, they're still close to each other, and if it's a great change, they're far away from each other.
That's according to the Oviut in them. What's the difference between Katnut, Gadlut, Ibur, Yenikamuchin, in general, all those differences? What are the differences in the will to receive, that there's no light, that there's no differences in the light? It's how each of them becomes closer or farther from the light. These are the changes. When I want to say, this is blue and this is green, what's the difference? I can't measure the blue against the green. I need a standard common to both of them, which is the light. How much each of them is closer or farther, and that's how I compare them.
That's what I thought, that there's blue and green, and all of a sudden he says that there's brown, which is between the green and the blue.
Fine, so what? There are 1,000 more colors and shades, discernments. But we don't measure one kli against another kli. We can't. How can you compare that? How can you compare green and brown? The differences in wavelengths. Even the differences in the wavelength is measured by the light. The light is your standard. Otherwise, we have no sense of the kli. And between the vessels, we can never measure. So the connection between the friends, too, we say, is only through the Creator. More? Yes.
What does it mean that there is no absence in the spiritual?
No absence in the spiritual means that each time a new form comes and it clothes the previous form, which is the cause, and the new form is the consequence. Otherwise, if there was absence in the cause, there would also be absence in the consequence, the effect. Because one builds the other. Unlike in corporeality, where we see that the mother gave birth to a baby, and now the baby already exists and can be detached from the baby, and, you know, it can live alone, detached from her. Not in spirituality. In spirituality, we're always tied to our adjacent root, and which is tied to its adjacent root, and so on, and that connection never goes away. Meaning, in spirituality, if you want to detach from me, nothing's going to help you. That's my trouble, not yours.
What I don't understand is, the kli always keeps adding aviyut. He's working on a new aviyut, right? So he already purified the previous aviyut, receives a greater aviyut, so why do we still need the previous form for?
She passes the lights, the reshimot, as much as the result grows, the reason grows. This is what he says, that from all my students have I learned. What does it mean from my students I learned? What, you need them to be smarter? Yes. Because you teach them, you also know it, those who teach. The more you teach, the more you bestow, the more you build external vessels to you, you're actually building them first inside of you.
Last question. He says that this is an addition and two forms in a single place. Can that be?
I don't see it. Where did you see it? If it's in a single desire, it's impossible. Perhaps he says inner and outer, like the little and the grown-up who are in Ibul, but it's different forms.
He says that the first form remained in its place without any change, and the additional form is an addition to the previous form, and now there are two forms in the same place instead.
I don't know what he means by this, the same place. I don't know how to interpret what it means when a single place, but it's probably not a single desire, rather that one comes out of the other and they're adjacent.
Okay, thank you, Rav. What is cause and consequence, and where do we get the cause from?
The initial cause is the desire to benefit the created beings. And from that reason, from that cause, comes everything as a consequence. And in each and every state, partsuf, desire, soul, person, doesn't matter. If it gives birth to anything, it's because it receives from the Creator the desire to benefit the created beings and extends that and continues that and therefore makes gives birth to some spiritual action.
He says that if in the spiritual He changes, then he divides and becomes two.
If there is disparity of form, then the disparity of form divides things to two. What's the disparity of form? The desire that the next partzuf is working with, in contrast or opposite to the previous desire. The reason is the father, the result is the son.
He says that the distance between them is according to the disparity of form between them. So what is disparity of form?
The disparity of desire. Right, the tzura means ratzon, desire.
If we discover greater desires along the way, so I keep distancing from the friends or the Creator.
That is a sense of distance that you are given in order for you to come closer on top of it. Otherwise, how will you come closer to them if you won't feel that you're far away?
I don't know, if we're all babies, then we're very much alike and even close to the Creator. If we're that small,
surely the closest to the Creator is a rock, then a plant, then a little animal. The human, to begin with his great ego, is the farthest from the Creator. So what? Because he has the great ego, and he's being added more and more, then he can discover this ego as an oppositeness. Something that even very developed individuals don't see, that they're far from the Creator. But when an illumination shines on a person from above, then he begins to see that he's opposite to bestowal, to love of the created beings, to the Creator. At first, he doesn't even want to think about it. It repels him. But bit by bit, and especially as he's in the group, he begins to see that there is no choice, that the discernments between one to another, as much as one is far from the other, these are negative spiritual discernments, and without overcoming them, he won't be able to attain the soul. So only by our ego, which grows, showing us how firm it is, by that we can come to the revelation of the ego and then the Creator. There is no one without the other. This is why Abraham was happy when the Creator promised him that your seed will be foreign in a land that is not theirs, and they will be tortured and enslaved. What does it mean? That your will to receive will control you, and you will have it by necessity, and you'll feel you can't stand it, and then you'll come out of it, out of there. It's impossible otherwise. So if you say, no, I want to be with a zero will to receive and just, you know, like a nice kind of butterfly, that so stay like a nice butterfly. To be a human means you have to be great and cruel. Not cruel in that you are cruel, but the Creator gives you all of those cruel proportions of the will to receive, that you can't hold yourself. You understand that it comes from the Creator, and as much as you resist it, you don't resist that. You only resist using it in order to receive. Well, that is something we still need to discuss. Giuseppe? No? Okay, no questions. Yeah. There? Yeah, who's there?
Why the Tzimtzum, the restriction, is a result of the departure of the Or, of the Light?
The departure of the Light, I do it because I cannot stand it, bear it within me. And the restriction means I do not allow the Light to enter again into me. That's the difference.
Yeah, but why the departure is the cause for the restriction?
Because by the pleasure that was in me, and I felt how opposite it is to the Creator, how much I, in that state, am opposite to the Creator, then I see I have no choice but to get away from that state, to reduce my will to receive so that I don't feel the pleasure in me. That's what I do, but it's still not the restriction. The restriction is when I do restrict my will to receive, but especially its effect is afterwards, throughout all of my actions until the final correction. It's not just expelling the light. It is about afterwards always maintaining the decision that I don't allow the direct light to appear in me. And so then I decide. Why? Because when the light is inside of me, it isn't the same decision of not allowing the light to enter me. Because in that state, I feel the pleasure inside of me literally, and I'm disgusted by it in practice. And when the light is outside of me, I feel it as great pleasures. I'm not disgusted. So there has to be a certain cause, decision, that's different to not allow it to appear.
So, what do you restrict then?
I don't know. I decided yesterday that I am not eating something sweet. That's it. I don't eat sweet. So I decided. Because it was inside of me and I felt that it was so, that this is what separates me from my health. But now, when I no longer feel that sweetness inside of me, I only feel it from outside, and the surrounding light is never limited, so I feel much greater pleasures than what I had inside. Much greater. If I yesterday enjoyed, say, 10 kilograms of pleasure, when it's surrounding me, I feel it as 100, 1,000, or more, because the surrounding light is unlimited, unbounded, and I don't know how to cope with it. I run around that candy, and it's there, and I don't know what to do, and then I have no choice. I pray for a screen. That's a completely new state. And then the masach is the restriction is a reason for the masach, and so on. Meaning there are many these kind of inner actions here inside of this. We will talk about it later.
So after the restriction, there is a new kli that fills the makif, the surrounding light.
Again?
How all of a sudden do you feel that the pleasure in the surroundings are 200 times stronger?
Because I don't have it in, I don't have anything inside. When I have a pleasure inside, and with it I also feel hatred to the pleasure, then there's pleasure and there's hatred to it. That's something we still need to discuss, how we feel each thing in its own kli and so forth. But when it's outside of me, both the pleasure is outside of me and the hatred that used to be inside of me when I was actually opposite to the Creator. Now, it's not working, basically. Now I have to envision that hatred, that if the pleasure is actually in me, then how would I hate that? And that's a problem. How is it written? In short, coping with pleasures that face you is a lot more difficult. There's a lot of sayings of the sages about it.
So eventually, what does the restriction give you? It gives you the ability to feel a greater pleasure from the light.
The Tzimtzum leads me to the prayer for getting a screen. And then, what do I have in the screen besides the restriction? It's not just receiving in order to bestow. It's not a simple thing, receiving in order to bestow. It's not the same pleasure. I receive it clothed with an intention to bestow. That's already, there's a lot of emotional details here and also intellectual details that we have to, that have to be form in the created being.
When we talk about annulment and restriction, is it the same thing in terms of the action that is performing or going through?
No. The Tzimtzum is, we think that it's, first of all, we have to understand, every action includes five parts to it. There's no other way. Havaya. Any action, if you penetrate it, you'll definitely find five stages until you come to feel it and make a decision. Therefore, it's not the restriction. Every aspect until it reaches the creature's decision, and it takes a lot of inner actions. Even not just direct havaya, but also the opposite havaya, 10 sefirot of direct light and returning light until there's an action. And an action can be raising mine or anything, but in general it's raising mine. For instance, after the tzimtzum comes a demand. I must have a screen. The tzimtzum is insufficient. The tzimtzum is just a reason. By that, I don't calm myself down or the creator, I don't reach connection between us. Everything that happened in the sense of the shame, I don't complete it by the restriction, meaning that state is not being completed yet.
So why, when we talk about this first dvikut, we talk about annulment and not having to reach restriction, and as a result to start asking for this first initial dvikut?
Our initial dvikut adhesion, we talk about the tzimtzum.
But we're constantly talking about annulment in recent days.
Annulment is what?
That's why I ask if annulment and restriction is the same thing.
Well, that's if you're talking about in self. If you're talking about our state, it's close to one another. If I annul my will to receive now from determining the importance of the situation, then to me it's already part of the tzimtzum.
So it's a different notion?
It's not different. In every state it's different. Towards the light of chassadim, the light of chokhmah, anything. Sure, it's different. We still don't understand how much there are actions and preparations for each and every thing that we read. There's a adjacent actions. He says cause and effect, for instance. Where is the cause and effect? There is 1,000 more effects from the reason that until that main consequence happens. He's just describing the big kind of big parts.
From what I just heard, from what you told Rui, the created being, when he receives pleasure, he feels both hatred and how limited he is. So
we are talking about Malchut of Ein Sof. That's what we discussed with him.
So isn't it better just to be left empty? What is this prayer for a masach, a screen?
Empty? I'm such an egoist that I'll stay empty after I understood what the Creator did for me and how much pleasure I give Him in receiving. And then I feel that I am full of pleasure for myself. And by that I'm opposite to Him, but He still enjoys me receiving from Him and enjoying. But I can't stay because I'm burned, I'm exploding from being opposite to him. You see, that's why it's called the most severe state, because that restriction comes from going crazy, from no other choice. On the one hand, he can't remain in that state, and then he decides why. Tell me, why does he make a restriction? He makes a restriction because the state he arrives at doesn't allow him to enjoy for the Creator. The Creator gives him fulfillment to enjoy it. He's happy that when I receive, and he's happy when I bring contentment to the Creator by enjoying, but then he feels no, that inside I enjoy for myself and not because of the host. You understand? There's a certain state here where there's no other choice but restricting. If there was no feeling, because he stops enjoying, basically. He sees that state becomes despicable. You can say he stops enjoying, but there's no words, really. But then the restriction happens, and therefore he finds a solution that it can only be... Where does the masach come from? And afterwards, this whole calculation, because he's in connection with the Creator, and that's just like the host and the guest. He asks him, "Help me, so that I can receive in order to bestow. I want to give you pleasure, and then the pleasure that I have will be several times more according to your pleasure. How much I now enjoy the will to receive." It's incomparable to enjoying in order to bestow. To enjoy in order to bestow depends on the greatness of the Creator, not the greatness of what's received. To the point that even if he doesn't receive anything and only gives, that already gives pleasure, like the woman who gives the ring to her husband.
So these two arrows that withdraw in Bechina Dalet, that receives both the pleasure and the status of the Creator when she wants to receive Bechina Dalet, that complete desire, she does it in order to bestow upon the Creator at first, and before she discovers that she's opposite from him.
We have to understand what shame means. Still, it's called shame. So what is shame? If it's because he doesn't want to suffer, that it feels bad, that's one thing. If he's ashamed, then what is he ashamed of? The Creator did all these things. I'm not even there. The beginnings of the created beings starts here. It's this tiny spark that says, I exist, and I'm opposite to the Creator. And in that feeling, what is that feeling? It is the feeling of shame. So he feels I'm separate from the Creator, and the shame is an indication of that difference from the Creator, and therefore I specifically, that difference between him and I have to erase it. How can I do it? By restriction only. Where will it take the force to restrict? What will he get from restricting himself? What? Meaning the feeling. This is all done by the Creator, of course. The feeling of the difference from the Creator develops such an aversion from pleasure that he feels, that it's not felt that the light fills it. On the contrary, he sees it as darkness, and then a new attitude to the fulfillment begins to evolve. He can't stay in the darkness too, because the darkness is because I feel that I'm not good, that I don't enjoy. So he has to move in order to bestow. Look, guys, we can stop and linger on this until the end of life.
I just want to be accurate about the beginning of the action of Bechina Dalit. She begins to receive both the pleasure and the stand of the Creator, the two arrows that we draw in Bechina Dalit. She starts receiving all that because by that she wants to bring, to cause pleasure to the Creator. Only at the end of Bechina Dalit she discovers that actually she is receiving, and then there's the feeling of shame and the restriction.
Let's say so. Okay, let's say it's like that. There are such precisions here that you're not going to have the words to even interpret. When a person attains it, then he better and better understands how it happens. And otherwise, you can write entire books, and it won't help until we actually go through it in practice. All right, let's move on a little. Yes, what, Mushi? Ah, yes, please.
Perché ci prende tanto questo test?
I wanted to know why this study of the Ten Sefirot is so attractive to us. Even if I don't understand anything about it, I'm greatly attracted to it.
It contains the absolute truth. We aren't discussing about nice words, how to bestow or receive. We're talking about forces and how they work. The forces of reception, the force of bestowal, plus and minus, how they connect and build creation. And besides those two, there's nothing. It's difficult for us, as we don't feel these forces, these two forces inside of us, to explain them through our life. But when we recognize these two forces, our life becomes just like tests. It's about how we operate. So then we stop taking bodies into account, and this entire imaginary world, because we only sense it through our body, and we shift to a world of forces. And this world sort of disappears. It loses its importance and later on even its reality. That's why tests attracts us. It gives us truth. Tells us what's actually happening. It's like you as a doctor. You know, you say, oh, you know, you diagnose this and this and this and that. These parts of the body these acids are missing or unbalanced. This is too much of a plus, too much of a minus. That's why he's in pain, or he cries, or he goes crazy. So the patient says, I cry, or I feel bad. And you say, he lacks a little bit of this substance. Add some of that and everything will be okay. So we're talking about the exact thing, what substance needs to be added. There was someone there who wanted, yeah.
I also don't understand what it means. Well, the Kli is in contact with the light. Why doesn't it work with the Masach? Why does it restrict itself? I don't understand the restriction. Why doesn't it work? It realizes that the upper one wants him to enjoy, and he does.
It never happened to you where you say, no, 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 thank you, I don't want it. You say, no, 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 really, I am not hungry, I can't, I don't want it. I think you're a gentle person. And you behave that way. So what are you asking about?
Obviously, if I know who it comes from, I say that I'm willing to suffer only for him to enjoy the fact that he gives me.
True, that's what I gave before the example, that Rabash gave me a cup of coffee, and there was still, bleach there. We sometimes studied in his house, and then he went to the kitchen and brought a cup of coffee. I thought only for him, but he brought for me too. And probably he forgot to wash it after, you know, they had only bleach 40 years ago, and didn't even have the soap. And I felt it very strongly. I also had an ulcer and everything. But no other choice. I had to drink it. And actually, wasn't so bad. Everything turned out okay.
It's an excellent example, and that's the question. I will be burnt out, but I know that he enjoys it. So what the restriction is all about? I understand that you begin to hate the will to receive, the fulfillment, the pleasure. I understand that, but I don't understand the fact that I'm willing to suffer only for him to enjoy. Why shouldn't I?
Because you are the pure will to receive. You cannot behave differently. What can you do? You can say, no, I enjoy. You enjoy or you don't enjoy?
If he enjoys, then yeah, I do.
In your will to receive, do you enjoy or not?
Ultimately, yes.
Incorrect. You don't enjoy. Because you only have a will to receive yet. You don't have an intention to bestow. You're talking about post-correction. But he enjoys, so I don't care that I suffer. That's a question. That's a question. Can he actually enjoy and be content while you suffer? You have to invert your will to receive so that you enjoy bestowal, and then you bring in pleasure. All right, slowly. Until it settles in the heart, it takes time. But still, there is some progress. Yes, you wanted to ask before. Just quickly.
If he begets something, that means that he receives from the Creator the will to do good to the created beings.
Right. If we receive any influence from above, that influence coming from above also comes with the nature of the Creator Himself. That's how the message is transmitted. I give you something. Why is there the matter of receiving something from someone great? They say it's a blessing, it's a remedy. Well, when the upper one gives you something, he doesn't give you candy. Together with the candy, he gives you his blessing. What's his blessing? The quality of the property of the upper one. That means that he gives. Give it to the friend, yeah.
The busha, the shame, happens later on in the rosh and the guf every time it rejects the light, the feeling of shame?
The shame is what? No. The shame is only in the rosh. It begets all the actions. It resides in all the actions, but no longer as the shame as a decision. But then the decisions are the masach and ol chozer. It already moves from potential to actual. The actual meaning, the forces working in the goof already.
So the decision to restrict the goof is made in the rosh.
Sure, of course. There's nothing new in the goof. In the rosh, there are thoughts and decisions. In the goof, actions and forces.
Moving on to the next